This week on Erotic Awakening, Q&A from Reddit BDSM Community and Aftercare Bloat.
Welcome to Erotic Awakening, an exploration of all things erotic. If you are offended by adult topics or prohibited by law, we recommend you stop listening right now.
Hey, patron supporters, we have two free tickets to King School, a virtual con happening in November. Just let us know via the Perks channel on Discord. First come, first serve. Get your free tickets, patrons.
Ooh, on the Erotic Awakening Discord. Fabulous. We want to thank our latest patron supporters. We also want to thank all of our patron supporters.
Even our oldest patron supporters.
Woo, woo.
Head over to patreon.com/eroticawakening today and get your bonus content and support the show.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dawn.
So we have some upcoming topics that we're putting together and a lot more in mind.
You and I will be talking about mentoring soon. We have the MS at home with younglings scheduled, and we are still trying to find somebody to do the PE dynamic when out of the norm behavior shows up.
Awesome. And a few actual fetishes in mind that we're reaching out to people for too, right?
We'll be talking a lot about sacred kink in the upcoming shows, as we are about to head to Beltane, which is all about sacred spiritual stuff.
Exactly. So I did two recordings of classes on sacred kink, sacred sexuality, right? Because we're going to be teaching those at Beltane in like 3 days.
In 3 days. We're almost there.
Naked time outside. I'm looking forward to Beltane.
Even the weather's going to be appropriate for running around naked.
Yes, I think it is. This is April. We were just in the 40s in Columbus, Ohio. We're supposed to hit 88 here in Pennsylvania in the mountains.
Yes.
Crazy.
Regardless of all that, Dawn, today on the podcast, I was just glancing through a subreddit, which is part of Reddit, called BDSM Community. And there are some really interesting and obscure questions out there.
Ooh, let's scroll through and see what we got. I forget about the old Reddit sometimes. My brain is probably protecting me because I could spend days getting lost in here.
So Dawn, the first question I'm going to ask you, do you think it's a bad idea to do a BDSM scene with no actual sex before having sex for the first time?
Do I think it's a bad idea? No. So for some people, BDSM has nothing to do with sex. Sex has nothing to do with BDSM. Some people are only turned on by BDSM. So why throw sex into it at all? If you're a virgin and you're interested in BDSM, go for it. That's my thought.
It's super interesting. It's this question kind of shows the difference in view of some people in that for us, BDSM and sex can be two completely different animals, right? If when you go have a BDSM scene with somebody that's not me, I don't perceive that as having sex with somebody that's not me.
No, and I would let you know. And I bet because of this thought and this question, this is how consent violations happen. People go into a BDSM scene thinking they're getting a BDSM scene. The other person's coming into a BDSM scene thinking they're getting BDSM and sex, and people don't know to negotiate that stuff. It's not always a given that there's going to be sex. So
absolutely. And again, it just, you're allowed to negotiate that stuff any way you want.
In, out, pieces, whatever.
Right. All right. What's the next one? I'm not looking at the questions.
You're not looking.
So you pick one.
Do you get dom exhaustion?
Well, yes. But unfortunately, the term dom is so flexible.
Oh.
I don't know what the actual question is. I'm going to take the question to say, do you get, as a perspective of dom sub, as a perspective of leadership in a power exchange relationship? And yeah, I can get exhausted from that. We used to have built-in Dan days where I take a day off where I'm not in charge. I'm still, now when I say I'm not in charge, it's like when your boss isn't at work. You still have to do the work. They're just not there. If you have questions, you handle it on your own.
You see, and I automatically took that as relationship dom sub.
Right.
And there is such a thing as decision fatigue that we've heard talked about as well. So that could come across. Now, you're right. People do use that in two different references anymore. So dom sub could mean relationship, leader follower, or it could mean scene, right? A power exchange. They're a dom or a sub in a power exchangey type scene, which is very limited. So, and if you get exhausted doing that, don't do it.
Yeah.
Stop having scenes until you've
Take
rested
a
up.
break.
Take a
Sure.
break, right?
All right. Next one. Let's see. Is the dick size, okay, I'm going to read. Does your dick size matter if you want to get into BDSM?
No.
Yeah.
So, like we just said, you know, BDSM and sex do not have to be combined. Some people combine it. If you go to an event, so I just did this at two different events that we went to, or I went to in the last couple of weeks. I looked at the waiver that I was signing and the rules to see if sex was even allowed.
Right.
There are some regions, some events where sex is completely off the table because of local laws or preferences of the people running the event. It is much easier if sex is not allowed at all
Sure.
to be able to run, you know, a party. So separate that. And for some people that I've played with, for most people that I have seen with at events, I don't even know their dick size. The pants have never
Right.
come off. It's not part of the thing. So
I would say, yeah, I mean, the last scene that I did, my dick didn't come out. There was some intimacy, but there was no. So for the direct answer to the question, no, your dick size does not matter to BDSM. If you are leading a BDSM scene, right, then you own your dick size is what it is. If you are a receiver, your dick size is what it is. It just doesn't make a damn bit of difference. So some people actually, if you have a particularly small penis, some people are going to dig that as its own sort of fetish. Right. So, yeah, no, it means
now,
nothing.
Now, if someone's wearing a strap on and coming at me and we've negotiated in, dick size might matter.
Yes, right.
So, but yeah,
all
no.
Right. What's the next one? And you don't have to go off the list. Find a good one.
Okay, find a good one. You're not looking.
We are going to actually have someone on the podcast in the near future who's going to talk about a way to grow your dick. And I have, you know, I've you see those advertisements about pumps and all that crap all the time, and it's all crap. And I said, oh, this guy's. So I did some research, and I actually found a Reddit of people that use this thing.
Really?
And the experiences are not negative.
So they're getting results?
They're getting results. So we'll talk to this person,
all right,
find out more about it.
Okay, so here's one for you.
Okay.
I don't know that we have any experience with the minute detail of this,
okay,
but let's see. What are some extremely humiliating ways to make him retrieve his chastity key? So you've done a degradation,
sure,
humiliating thing. And when I think humiliating, I think sensual humiliation. So I don't know that things will pop into my head, but extremely humiliating ways to, oh, I had one pop into my
okay,
head. I don't even want to talk about mine. That's okay.
The first thing that comes to my mind is, see, now the challenge is humiliating to one person,
right,
might be bread and butter to another person. So this might be good for you is to have the owner of the key who, you know, the person, not the person who has to retrieve it. No, that's not extremely humiliating. So let's get it extremely to have the person that wants their chastity key to piss in a bowl. You take the key, put it in the bowl, and then you tie them up and they say, you got to retrieve it with your mouth.
See, that's humiliating. That's where mine was going, was in that direction. So.
And, you know, if it was the dom, if it was the owner of the keys piss, that might not be extremely humiliating.
Right.
So going after your, through your own piss.
Like bobbing for apples, but the thing
yes,
is heavy, so it is definitely on the bottom.
Yeah.
But then again, it could be someone else's fetish and you got someone out there going, ooh, I need to suggest that to to my leader, my dom.
My second option, if I'm at an event, is I have three other people. And again, this is knowing the person that, you know, what they would find extremely humiliating is to have them, you'll have to go ask Joe. And when they go to ask Joe, Joe doesn't know, but he says, oh, well, I don't know where your chastity key is, but after I make you get on your knees and beg me where it is, I say, I don't know. You should go ask
Do you know
Mary.
What that sounds like? The descent of Inanna, and she has to stop at every gate and something happens to her before she gets to the end.
Yeah. That was an interesting ritual.
That was an interesting
Pulling
ritual.
The way back machine.
We're getting ready to be on the same land that happened. So cool. That'll be memories.
Oh, you know what? I like this one, Dawn. What do DOMs like to hear from subs during scenes?
Well, I don't know that I can answer for DOMs, but being the sub, the people that I've played with, they like to hear enthusiastic consent.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a little different for each submissive, because I like to point out when someone says, do you want me to cut you and do needles and cane you till you cry and all of that? Let's look at that. My consent is probably not going to be the enthusiastic, which people seem to say that's needed. It's not going to be the, oh, yes, sir, that's exactly what I want. Oh, I'm so excited. Let's do this thing. No, my enthusiastic consent could be like, yes, I think I would like this thing, right? Because it's not going to be like a tickling thing. It's not going to be a happy cheerleader type thing. It's going to be deep and intense. And that enthusiastic consent can look a little different, but usually you can tell by my words and the look on my face, even if there's a little bit of trepidation,
right,
that I am totally into what it is. And I will use my words and say, this is going to be scary. I really want to do this, right? So enthusiastic consent can look a little different. So the people that I like to play with, they don't want me playing with toys that they, so far, that they have laid out. I am allowed to pick out the things that go, not today. And they put them away because they want to play with the stuff that is going to work back and forth with us. So enthusiastic consent is what I'm going to go for. Just honesty.
Yes. So as go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, they don't want me so far, and my experience, they don't want me saying yes to something because I think it will pleasure them. Though, no, I take that back. Sometimes, especially with me and you, and we know each other very well, that can be something that I do as well. If I know it really going to please you, and that pleases me, and I like that. Yeah. Anyway,
the fun part about this one is that what do DOMs like to hear during the scene, right? During...
Oh, sounds.
Well,
like the moons and stuff.
Absolutely. No, that is also true. But to answer your question, how you perceived it before the scene. Yeah, I just want clear-headed, not only clear-headed consent conversations, but I want to know, what do you want? What turns you on?
Right.
What do you want to get out of this scene? The more information you're giving me, the more I can use that either for you or against you, depending on how this particular scene is set up. And then during the scene, anything, right? Any noises, don't hold back your noises. Don't hold back any words, whatever sounds you're making. And again, then from there, it depends on the scene, right? Some BDSM scenes I do are not necessarily for the pleasure of the bottom.
Right.
We get that going in. And if they're saying no, 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 that's fucking hot. And sometimes it is for their pleasure and they're saying no, 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 and that's still hot.
Yes.
So you'll work all that out.
You'll work all that out. So yeah, I love to say no, 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 if it's that sort of scene, because we've already negotiated and read and that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So do you find it frustrating? It sounds like you do. And I know you, so I know the answer to this question. But is it frustrating for you when you're like, so what would you like to do? And they're like, anything, whatever you'd like to do.
It is to a point, unless I really bought into the anything sort of thing, and I'm sure we'll get some hate mail about that, but anything is a legitimate, I just got into one of these conversations. I'm going to give you the short version of it.
Okay.
Normally what happens is if a sub says, oh, I'm in for anything. And then the Domly Dom says, oh, ha ha, you said anything. So you're okay if I take an ice cream scooper and bore out one of your eyes. Well, the reality is when a sub says I'm in for anything, we all should recognize that there's context to that, right? Secondly, if you're the kind of person that would bore the eye out of somebody with an ice cream scooper, then what they consented to doesn't matter to you. You're not the kind of person that gives a fuck what they said.
Oh yeah, you're gonna do what you want to do anyway.
Yeah. So for me, if somebody says I'm willing to do anything, I'm still gonna specify some boundaries of what that means. But those are going to be based on, all right, where are we going to do this? Anything in a public dungeon is very different from anything in a skeezy hotel room, mm-hmm. right? That's different animal there. And then I'm going to say, now, when you say anything, when I think anything, that includes sexual contact. Is that part of your anything as well? To get to your actual question, mm-hmm. I would actually like, unless there is a scene that you want to do, that's an anything scene, because I want to just, it's like the scene from that movie Fight Club, where mm-hmm. you're driving. I know it's a weird grasp there, right?
I'm trying to think where you're going with this.
Just let go of the car's drive steering wheel and see what happens, right? If that's what you're going for, then you've judged me as somebody who's not going to take it to a place that's unhealthy and unsafe. That's a pretty fucking hot deal. Now, but in general, to answer your question, if somebody says, I'm up for anything, I'm like, yeah. So I don't know what you enjoy. So let's drive into what
you're
going to enjoy.
So that just means more talking so that you can figure out what it is that they might enjoy. Because they could be new or something like that.
Yeah.
So I was going more of our negotiation class. You know, we talk about, when someone says I'm up for anything, now you have no information. Yeah. But that's still a place to start with the negotiating stuff. Now, for me, with an anything conversation, I have someone that I've played with multiple times, and they are very much about, they're hardcore, but they're also very much about, okay, is this going to be cool? Is that going to be cool? Is this going to be cool? Great. Now I get to play with all this information, right?
Right.
But he has also said, right before COVID of all times, that he would really like to have a scene with me that is clear slate.
Yeah.
What do we call that? We have a thing that we call it in our negotiation class, mm-hmm. but it is that he wants to go in knowing my four heavy, hard limits mm-hmm. that would not take place in a dungeon anyway, right? So he doesn't have to worry about those. Those are the normal heavy four. So, God, what would they be? They'd be no underage. No.
Your.
Yeah. So my four.
And it's so funny that they just don't immediately come to mind anymore.
They really don't, because time goes
obviously,
by. And
are we going to try and figure it out right now, or do I just keep going?
We could.
We've gotten this far. All right. So anything that's non-consensual.
Right.
Which takes care of anything that's age play related.
Right.
Anything
that's underage. Right. You would think that's a normal. So underage means we don't involve anybody underage.
Well, I covered that
and
one.
Age plays, that's different to me.
I covered all right. So because I'm an old fashioned fella, I assume anyone below 18 years old can't consent.
Right.
And animals cannot consent.
Right.
So my very first item that said consensual things only knocked out.
Oh,
anybody.
Got it. But see, some people don't think that way. So
So that's
absolutely. Yes.
But for you, but the general age play in general.
For me.
Yeah.
Is off limits, even the language.
Right.
So that's my baggage. That's fine. I don't care what other people do at this point, but that one's mine.
Number three, no scat.
Yep.
And number four, I think, is no guns.
No guns.
Okay.
Right. So
that leaves you a lot of things to
do. That leaves a lot of things that I can do. And because I've played with them before, I'm kind of excited about the creativity they can come up with that would be involved in that sort of scene.
So what happened to number five, which was on your list, which we're so fucking far off topic now.
What was number five?
Electric.
Ooh. For some reason, electric has made its way. I still don't do tens units because I don't know that the person, I would really have to know the other person with the tens unit, because there are things that you can do in the chest and head area
that are
dangerous.
But that's not a hard limit then. I would do a tens unit. No, I would do a tens unit with somebody that
below the waist and someone that I knew.
Okay. All right.
So below the waist and someone I knew. Yeah. So electric is not off my limits anymore. And I guess some things change over time like that, right? So that is kind of cool. I have no clue what the hell we were talking about.
I have one more question for you, though. But first, what if I wanted to ask you this question in person? How would I know where you are?
Oh, so currently we're in Maryland. But over time, Maryland, Ohio,
Pennsylvania,
Chicago. Did I say we're in Maryland? We're in Pennsylvania, but we're in Maryland and then going to Pennsylvania. Where did you leave off?
I don't know. Let's do that again.
Okay.
You can find us at a variety of upcoming events in person. For example, we'll be in Maryland,
Ohio,
Pennsylvania,
Chicago,
Michigan,
Kansas City,
Las Vegas.
and Minnesota. And I
Keep up with all of our book news,
discounts and more.
the Erotic Awakening newsletter.
And get your EA shout out like Kaneki, Kaneka,
Mimi,
and Emma from Ohio.
head over to eroticawakening.com and subscribe today.
Hi, Dan. So we actually had one of your partners reach out recently and ask us what we thought about aftercare bloat.
I have no care clue.
I'd never heard of this term before, so I had to go look at the conversation that's going on and on that website, the
Oh,
FetLife.
wait, was it? Oh, that. Oh, I assumed you meant
Because it was
TikTok.
her, you thought
I
TikTok.
presumed it would be TikTok, yeah.
No. So this one's on Fet and it's called Aftercare Bloat. And what Aftercare Bloat is where the two people that are playing have negotiated aftercare time.
Okay.
And that aftercare time, let's say that the aftercare time is like, okay, I think I'm going to need 10 minutes of cuddle, a bottle of water, and a Hershey's kiss,
Okay.
right? So that's the aftercare. That's what I need. And then you get into the aftercare moment, and they're like, the 10 minutes is up, and the dom goes to leave, and the sub's like, oh my God, I need more aftercare. If you leave me now, you're an asshole,
Okay.
sort of thing. So
Okay.
now they're asking for, you must stay with me because if you don't, you're a bad person. And now the aftercare becomes a half hour, an hour, and you're trying to leave, and they're making you feel like a bad person because you want to leave, even though they're saying that they need you. And there's a lot going on here where some people are saying, oh yeah, if you leave the sub and they're saying that they need more aftercare, then you are an asshole. And then there's the tops going, oh my God, I felt like the worst person ever because I had more scenes set up. I went with what they said they needed for negotiation. I was sticking with the negotiation. Now I feel manipulated and trapped. And how do I get out of this without being the bad guy? Or girl, or whatever. And so just, I was asked what I thought about aftercare bloat. I thought I would ask you, because I know my opinion.
I don't have, first off, I haven't seen it before. I haven't had it happen to me before. I'm sure it's a
I used
thing.
to ask for more time, but I don't know that that was
That's true.
at the beginning, especially with our deep
Okay.
scenes.
That's fair. I would say in general, if I was in that situation, unless I clearly felt like that they had the intent that this is what was going to be, they were going to ask for this all along, I would say, yeah, okay, sure, I'll stick around. And oh, man, it's unfortunate that I'm going to be late for my other scenes, but I assume responsibility for putting you in this spot in the first place, for putting you in this space. So I accept that responsibility. And if that means I stick around for another 15 minutes or 30 minutes, that's what I'll do. And I probably wouldn't scene with that person again unless there was some understanding of why, if that was going to happen again, if that was, if I mean, now this is all a situation where I'm suggesting that I don't feel manipulated, right?
Right,
If I felt manipulated, that's a different animal.
because that's why it's on FET, right? They felt manipulated.
Right. Yeah, if I felt manipulated, that'd be different. But I certainly see this is intense shit that we do. And, if you negotiated that for your first ever needle play scene, that you just needed a cup of water and a pat on the head, you might find out that nope, that's not what you need at all. That your body reacts completely different to that. So yeah, that's my response.
Cool. So, not where I thought it was going to go because I was like, oh my God, absolutely. Because the story was presented, I was manipulated. Like, I went into this and they knew all along that they were going to need 2 hours and they said 10 minutes. And now I feel like, they made me feel like the asshole when I said I had to leave. But as we're talking, right, I have asked for more time. And sometimes you've put your foot down and you've gone, okay, because that's how we started listening to that one song for aftercare, right? So, oh crap. And now I can't think of the name of
Moments in
it.
love.
Moments in Love by Art of Noise.
Right.
It's a 12 minutes long. And We do really intense aftercare for that 12 minutes. I have your complete focus, right? And because I know ahead of time that that's what I'm getting, I have to work on myself, right? To get myself back into that being grounded. And so, as a top, it might be beneficial to learn some grounding techniques so that you can help someone with that, with more than just a cuddle,
Right.
so that they won't
It's not
need
bad.
that aftercare, you know, the extended aftercare. You've got tools in your tool belt to ground them. That's the whole point of aftercare. It's grounding so that they are able to move forward after an intense scene or an emotional scene. So get those tools in your tool belt. If someone can help me ground, then that is so much better because I do have those tools. And sometimes I still need, if it's been intense and I've gone into subspace, I still need help to come out of that. So, you know, have some tools under your belt.
Totally makes sense. Would you need to ground after a pinch?
No. Ow!
To be a part of the Erotic Awakening podcast community.
You can support us on Patreon and get early access to the podcast, a free version of the audiobook Polyamory Toolkit, free ebooks, member-only Discord access, and more.
Find all the goodies at patreon.com/eroticawakening today.
Help others find us. Take a moment to support the podcast. Rate us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Or just tell your friends.
Join the conversation with us and other listeners.
Use the links from the Erotic Awakening website for our growing Discord channel.
Feel free to reach out to us.
Contact us with questions, podcast comments, or just to say hi.
We are Dan and Dawn on FetLife.
And Erotic Awakening on Instagram.
Or just email us at danandawn@eroticawakening.com.
Bye, Dawn.
Bye, Dan.